The option. Well, okay. The option of PC or Mac, but if you get a Mac, you have to run Windows.
All right, guys. So let's pick up where we left off. So we're starting Perek Rishon, which its subtitle is Sheva Mitzvos Hashkulos Keneged Kol Mitzvos. Right. We're going to do tonight is go into and explore the seven mitzvos that are actually equivalent to all the other mitzvos in the Torah. Okay. So we're really tonight's going to be kind of an overview of what the seven are. I think we mentioned them quickly last time, but just what the seven are. Some of the sources for them, and then understanding like what's this whole idea of having these mitzvahs that are compared to all other mitzvahs. So Rav Volbo says like this: He says, "Al sheva mitzvahs omrim Chazal shein shkulos keneged kol haTorah o kol haMitzvahs." Okay, there are seven mitzvahs throughout rabbinic literature about which the rabbis basically say that the rabbis declare that they are shakul, that they are somehow equal to what is that? What are we drinking? Iced tea. Very nice. Okay, that they are Shkulos, either parallel to the entire Torah or at least to all the mitzvahs. Okay? So, I mean, it's two formulations. You can say that these seven mitzvahs are, I guess each one individually of the seven is as powerful or as potent as performing all the other 612. I mean, fine. I mean, you have seven of the 613, 606 that are already right. Like, each one is very powerful. But let's say, it's fine, it's equal to the other ones, and it's certainly equal to all the rest of them. So we have to understand what that means. Or to say it's even keneged kol haTorah, but it means kol haTorah, it doesn't necessarily mean limud haTorah, because we know limud haTorah itself is keneged kol mitzvahs. It probably means, Torah is another way of saying all the mitzvahs. It means like these are very, very fundamental. So inyan shakul, so what does it mean shakul? Hu al derech she'amru, shakul Moshe keneged kol Yisrael. Right? Chazal say that Moshe is equal to all of Klai Yisrael. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is more important than us. Does that? I don't think that's what it means. That Moshe is somehow put Moshe on one side and every single other Jew on the other side, and they're equal. Like, not exactly what it means. Rav Volbo says the kavana is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the tzura of Klai Yisrael. The tzura meaning is the picture, the demus, the image. When it says it's shakul, it's equal, it means he's parallel to, it means that he's indicative of, he's reflective of, that the persona of Moshe embodies what the totality of Klai Yisrael is supposed to look like. Okay, so it's like
what about from Tzur Tzurenu in the Shemoneh Esrei?
The rock, like our rock. It's a, you know, it's a Lashon Tzur, right? The Tzur is mitzayer, to the picture, an image, right? It could be also a rock. So can mean he's the foundation of Klai Yisrael. Maybe that's the way to say it also. Chen gam mitzvos elo shein shkulos. So Rav Volbo's, he's extrapolating from that, that these mitzvos that the Chazal say are shakul, keneged parallel to all other mitzvos. So what that is saying is not the idea that somehow you perform this one mitzvah, you get the same credit in Shamayim as if you perform all the other mitzvos. Right? We don't know. Now Chazal say you have to be careful with all mitzvos because we don't know the schar that you get for mitzvos. You know, one has to be careful, mitzvah kala, mitzvah chamura. So you might have thought we're having some sort of quantitative analysis here, a discussion here about like how much credit you're getting in Shemayim. I'm like, you know, I would have thought if I do, maybe I do one of the seven shkulos, so that's like going to be the same thing as doing another 600 mitzvahs. I mean, these are crazy cheshbonos. We're told not to make those calculations. So maybe that's not what it necessarily means. What it means is that these mitzvahs are somehow commensurate to all the others, it means to tell us that they are the tzura of the other mitzvos. They are the foundation, they are the image, they are the structure, there's something at their core that helps us understand what we're trying to accomplish when we perform all the other mitzvos. So it's like an indicator on some level. It's the tzura, like Mashal HaMahadavar Doma, what is this comparable to? So it's well known that many explain the Torah Shebichtav, right? The written Torah is really the tzura, it's the form, and the Torah Shebaal Peh, right? The oral tradition, is an elaboration, it's an explanation. Some sources say that the Ten Commandments are really the Torah. That's a controversial statement, but the idea that all the mitzvahs are really just an elaboration of certain basic principles. So similarly, we're trying to say here that these seven mitzvos are very foundational, they're very fundamental, and that every other mitzvah that surrounds it is really an expression or filling in or coloring in. What's a mashal? Like if you would take the human body, right? The human body is a form, it's a tzura, right, on some level. And then you fill in, different people have different color eyes, different people have different shaped face, but there's a certain tzura of what a person looks like, shorter, taller, okay, but their eyes, there's nose, and hopefully we're talking about a typically formed person. There's a certain tzura of what a human being looks like, and then there's the details that help pronounce, the differentiate, the distinguish, but they're pronouncing really the details of who we are. So similarly, also, I think what we're trying to explain is that these seven mitzvos are indicators of what the tachos of mitzvos are. So if you're trying to understand better, what are you doing when you're doing pick a mitzvah, putting on tefillin in the morning? So what am I really doing? What's it about? So to understand what that's about, it will help to understand, the seven mitzvos or one of the seven. And again, he's going to go into greater depth on the second side of the page and explain kind of that each one of the seven mitzvahs has a yechidius as well, that they're almost like seven structures. Okay, so each one plays a role in the form or in the picture. But ultimately, that's different than the details, which is all the rest of the mitzvahs. Okay? So the point is not the Rav Volpe saying that mitzvah A is more important than B. Maybe you'd conclude that. But it's not a question of importance or weightiness as much as that certain mitzvos give you a better picture of what mitzvos are about. Other mitzvos don't necessarily give you that same purview of what mitzvos are intended to be about or what they're meant to accomplish. So you study these seven to understand or to help facilitate interacting with all the rest. So to me, it's almost a question of an antecedent, almost like a precedent, a priori, if you want to understand mitzvahs, you start with these seven. And I'll talk about what the order of the seven is, but that's just that's the chiddush that Rav Volpe is saying here. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
The word shekel is the same word as shekel. Right. The same concept of shekel is weights or...
Yeah, I mean, it's a way. How do you, assess? Right.
Is he going to bring a source that equates shekel with Torah?
He quotes, it's a Chazal Shakul Moshe Kenei Koy Sobe. But he doesn't bring the source where that's said.
No,
he says Tzura.
He says Tzura.
Right. Well, what does it mean when it says Shakul Moshe Kenei Koy Yisrael?
Can't be that.
I think Rashi brings that somewhere, and maybe in Kitisa. I think maybe we saw that last week. Do we see that at the end? Yeah, we quote it from the Rashi in Chukas at the beginning of the Hakdama. Shemoshe Hu Yisrael. Shianasi Hu Akol. So that's what he said. He said that already in the Hagdama. It's based on the Rashi in Chukas. Remember, these were drushas on Parshas Chukas. So he's elaborating on that Rashi. And he's saying that there's something about the leader encompasses the totality of the people. Right? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts on some level, on some layer. So not saying greater than, but he's saying equal to. They're all parts of, he is indicative of all the parts. So now he's going to go through each of the seven. We'll do them relatively quickly. We don't have to get so bogged down each of the sources.
Sorry, did you guys mention at any point why seven, maybe? Was that discussed at all?
Not yet, but it's also a fair point. Seven is usually Teva Ha'olam. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring an eighth, possibly, which is Lamalam and Ateva. Maral is well known. So he starts. He says, these are the seven. Ka Kofra Bavodazara, Modib Ka Torah Kula. He quotes again where the sources are from. Mm-hmm. Anyone who denies idol worship, it's comparable to one who admits to the entire Torah. So that's a proof that rejection of idol worship. So it says Avodah Zarah, it doesn't mean performing Avodah Zarah. It means the opposite. It means rejecting Avodah Zarah, which is one of the cardinal three Averos. It's one of the big three. That is comparable to somebody who admits to the entire Torah. So that's the proof that it's a shekel. It's one of the shekel mitzvahs, we'll call it, right? Then he says, tzitzis v'shkua k'nei kol mitzvos. It's said explicitly, Rashi says, in Shlach. Tzitzis. Then he quotes, Laman ismucha parshas mekoshish v'parsha avodas gilulim. The juxtaposition, the Torah of the mekoshish eitzim to a parsha of idol worship. To teach you that the Machal at the Shabbos, right? Because the Koshis was chopping trees on Shabbos, yeah, right? Yeah. So one who violates the Shabbos is like one. It's like one. It's like worshiping Avodah Zarah, which is connected all the mitzvahs. We already said that. So, So he's teaching you basically Shabbos is one of the, right? And he quotes Chayin Hevi Omer BeEzra Al Har Sinai Yeradata Vatitien Lamcha Torah Mitzvos Vet Shabbos Kodshcha Hodata Lahem. Right, so it's put there together with Torah and mitzvahs and Shabbos. Trying to marshal that it's a biggie, and this is a little bit of like a mathematical equation to how we show is that Shabbos is a shuckle, because it doesn't say it doesn't say it explicitly. It's a little bit of a mathematical gymnastics, but okay, be that as it may, nobody did. We all know that Shabbos is a biggie, you know. Obviously,
what was that? What number was that?
Three.
Just one was Avodah Zarah.
So we got Avodah Zarah. Sitzes, Shabbos. None of those are huge surprises yet. Sitzes, I mean, maybe. But we know that Sitzes is a remez to... Dalet is a field comments for sale shal Torah. Einan Shabbos l'davar echad min ha-Torah. Okay, this is a famous Yerushalmi Peah. Right, we say this every day. Odvar shalem echad protein b'olam hazeh. Right, Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. That's the idea here. That all the mitzvahs aren't compared to one... word of Torah, the study of Torah. Mm. Right, Torah is very powerful. Then he brings Gedola Mila. Gemara Nedarim says that Mila is Shakel.
Mm-hmm.
Connected all the mitzvahs. Rav Asi says, beautiful, Shkulat Staka connected all the mitzvahs.
Mm.
Very interesting. Right? We all know mitzvahs Staka is a biggie. But to see that it's really... So, again, what does it mean? Again, none of this is saying that Shabbos is more important, Staka is more important. It's saying that if you want to understand mitzvahs, this is like a core mitzvah.
It's fundamental.
Right.
You got to have it.
You got to grasp it to really grasp other mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Okay? Because at the shorish of this one, you'll understand all the rest. Then he quotes, Maisa b'Rabbi Yochanan, maybe Yochanan b'Seirav, Amasir ben Cheresh, Amchanina ben Achai, etc. He quotes a lot of people. Yonasan Shayu Yotzen l'chutz l'aretz. They were leaving Eretz Yisrael. V'yigiel v'paltus. They got to a location. V'zachru at Eretz Yisrael. They remembered Israel. V'zakvu enem. They like, you know, they began to like, exokev kifufim. Because every morning, like Hashem straightens the bent. Like they began to like, oh, like, I guess like, you know, like their eyes were longing. V'zalgu demotehan. The tears were coming down. They ripped their clothing. Right? And they read the pasuk. V'yarashtu v'yashavtu v'shmartim lasos. Pasuk juxtaposes Yerushas Haaretz, inheriting the land, Yeshivas Haaretz, and then connected to keeping all the mitzvahs. Amr Yeshivas Haaretz, Shkula Kenei Komis Shabbatorah. So living in Eretz Yisrael is a biggie also, Yeshivas Haaretz Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
So that's already seven. But he brings another one, the Balaturim counts also Tshuva as Shkula. Kitajav Elisham Akeb, Bechal Bechal Hanashachar, Ki Mitzvah Zos. Okay, so he's saying like the Balaturim like counts. I don't know if he means the Balaturim counts that one and he doesn't count a different one. And maybe he's saying almost the Balaturim is almost counting. No, he says Balaturim is monagam et hatshuva. So maybe there's eight. I mean, it's known as the seven, but it's like seven plus. Just throwing that out there. But the point is the Balaturim is saying it. It's not like clear that the Chazal are saying it. So that's why he's bringing it like a 7.5. It's not like he's not saying they're 8 shkulos. He's making us aware that there is an opinion that there is a different one. Okay. So Amarnu ki the mitzvah shkulos mishum tzuras hamitzvos nagu b'hem. So again, we've already stated that the reason why we care about these foundational mitzvahs are because they are a form of the other ones. Ulam, however, in b'tzurat hamitzvos medubar. So he says, it's a very fair question. We're talking here about the tzura, the form of the mitzvah, so then there should be this one form, right? There shouldn't be seven different forms, right? Well, it doesn't make sense. If you're trying to say, this is like, Moshe's keneged kol Yisrael. So there's one Moshe.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say there's seven Moshe's keneged kol Yisrael, but there's Moshe, there's Aaron, well, I mean, there's seven people that are, I mean, they're all different. So he says, we have to understand the fact that there are seven and not just one needs further elaboration and elucidation, what that's about. So he goes on to explain. Neha mitzvahs kula nitnu adam Yisrael lahashlim tzuras alafli. Why were we given mitzvahs altogether? Why does Hashem give us mitzvahs? What's the purpose of mitzvahs?
To connect to them.
We say, quote from the Mishnah, we also quote from the Lashon of, I think, the Rambam. Many people quote the Mishnah. What is the Mishnah? We learn from Chanan ben Akash Omer. Is it from Perkei Avos? Where is it from? Not Perkei Avos.
No, it's in
but the Gemara.
It's the
very end of every Brahma. Right. Ratza Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezako de Yisrael. Hashem wanted to give Schuyos to Klai Yisrael. Lefichach, therefore, hirbo lahem Torah mitzvahs. He gave them a lot of Torah mitzvahs. Shenem Hashem chafetz l'man tzidko. Hashem desired to be matzdek us, to give us tzedek or tzedakah, to do us tova. Yagdil Torah v'yadir, like through the Hagdolos HaTorah, through the perpetuation of Torah. So you see that what's the purpose of the mitzvahs in Torah? He wanted to give us schuyos. It's like he wants to give us the currency to get into the next world, right? That's one of the biggest ironies of life, right? Most of us spend most of our time twimmeling in this world with things that are very transient and not everlasting. But there are other things that are everlasting that are going to have that really matter, that are building for us our future worlds. So he says, so Hashem gave us mitzvahs to help us to perfect us. To really create, to perfect the human being. Says that, you know, our great philosophers refer to the human being as Olam Katan, right? We're all mini worlds. Who beemes Olam Gadol Maod Briboy Bekochata. But the truth is, we're really, each of us is really a big world, not just a little world. So it shouldn't be a wonder. So, since we're so large and since our potential is so vast, it's not a surprise that each one of our abilities has a unique form. Now he's going to elaborate what this means. So, if the purpose of the mitzvah shkulos is it represents the form of a mensch, and it's the form of what a mitzvah is, so it makes sense since we are so multifaceted that each mitzvah is somehow relating to a different piece of our form. So, for example, what does this mean? You'll understand it better when I articulate it. Hakfira b'avodah zarah, denying idol worship, is tsuras koach haracha. That's a picture of the ability that man has to estimate, to evaluate, right? How do you marry this woman or not that woman? You have to use your ability to assess what's best for you, what qualities does she possess.
To evaluate.
Koach haracha means to... Right, we're going to talk about that, right? So, denial of Avodah Zarah is indicative of the ability to assess what's a real God and what's a fake God.
Mm-hmm.
What's something meaningful, what's something impactful, what's something that's going to, you know, tear me astray. Staka is Tsuras Hamida Shekoach Hanatina. Staka is all about an image of qualities that are the power of giving within man. Tzitzis is an image or a picture of the ability of a human being to remember. Koach hazchira, shi hayedia b'falal. He says, like yedia, knowing something actively, is part and parcel of memory. What does it mean to remember something? It means that you know it. You know it really well in the present. It means you remember it. It's a different way to say it, right? The picture of koach hazchira is knowing something really well. That's how you remember it.
Yeah.
Then Mila is Kedushas Haguf. Mila is the sanctification of the body.
Mm.
Torah is sanctification of the das, of the seichel, of the mind. Shabbos is sanctification of time. And Eretz Yisrael is sanctification of place. Okay?
It's awesome.
So he's saying our elaboration of these seven things is going to explain what this whole maimer is about, of Shevar Shgulah. So this entire kuntres, this entire pamphlet is really about this yisod. But the Chapis and the Chazal are saying there's seven inyanim that are the tsura of all other mitzvahs. Now we have to understand it a bit deeper. What's the purpose of the mitzvahs? It's to perfect us. So then these seven mitzvahs, which are really the root of our perfection, each one of them, it makes sense that it's different dealing with one of the seven capacities of a human being. Okay?
What do we say, tamataros?
Tamataros, kedushas, adas. It's like refining the mind.
What was koach hanesina?
The power to give, the ability to be a giver, not a taker, which I'll elaborate on in a second. Okay, so this is very, very deep, very profound, right? We're saying that all of these mitzvahs, all mitzvahs have a tachlis to perfect us, right? But to understand how tefillin, I'm picking on tefillin because I'm not one of the shkulos apparently, how tefillin works, each mitzvah in and of itself has its own tamei mitzvahs, is not what we're talking about right now. But each mitzvah, it perfects us. So if we want to understand how it perfects us, we need to look at the mitzvah, at the shrushim, at the core mitzvahs. So the core mitzvahs, each one is parallel to the whole thing. So why are there seven? So we're saying because the seven work in tandem to create one unit, because each seventh of the seven is addressing a different part of the human capacity of fundamental abilities that are possessed by every human being, right? Which is, again, there's the whole body, there's the mind, and there's time and space. And then there's also the idea of memory, giving, and assessing. That's what he says, that defines the seven aspects of a human being that need refinement, that need perfecting or correcting, right? So he says, Das l'navon nakel, like a smart person understands, Echa mitzvos hashkulos hein surat chalkei adam. Right? This is what we just said. He says, a person who is a thinking person appreciates that the seven mitzvos hashkulos, why were these seven picked? Right? We'd have to do an exercise. What's the significance of these seven? So the point, purpose is these seven are speaking to different parts of a human being. He says, however, we need better understanding, a better grasp of the power to evaluate and the power to give. He says, koach hanesina benigud l'koach hanetila, right? A human being has these dual conflicting emotions of giver taker. That's explained by Rav Dessler in the famous Kuntros HaChesed, Mechtom Yaloyo, Chelak Aleph. He says there, Rav Dessler, kol hamidos hatovos kulos b'koach hanesina, all of the good traits emanate from being a giver, chamidos haros, and all bad traits emanate from the ability to take, the desire to take. It's very interesting. In all of our interactions in life, you really have to think about it. Like, this is a very complex dynamic of giving and taking. It's kedai to study Rav Dessler's Kuntros HaChesed in terms of these nekudas. Because, taking is also giving at times, right?
What do you call it? Receiving.
Receiving is also giving. Right. So they're different yesodos here, very fine. But then he says also, koach ha'aracha, and the ability to assess things, that's one of the main activities of the mind. There's a footnote at the bottom. He says, das l'navon ki koach ha'aracha hu b'yesod shel ha'bechira. He says that the whole ability to assess and evaluate, at its shoresh, is really choice, free will. He puts it together. That which a person estimates and therefore chooses, that's what he recalls. He's just differentiating. He's saying that haracha and zchira, which we allude to on top, like tzitzis and avodah zara, those are really intellectual actions, and the sina has to do with more midos and traits. So it's defining, in essence, I think he's alluding to the difference between the emotional spheres and the intellectual spheres, that some of these operate in the realm of the intellect and the mind, some deal more with the refinement of the midos, which we call the heart. So let's see. So back on the top, he says, Hasechel choshev machshavot mufshatot u'masiyot ma'arich. How does the mind work? The mind thinks clearly, thoughts, actions. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, famous pasuk in Mishlei, Mitzayath lekesef akor lezahav, right? The silversmith and the one who molds the gold. But the famous part is v'ishlofi mahalo, and a man is assessed based on what he praises, right? Peirusho malos ha'adam v'imashi yehalel. Rav Huttner as a whole explanation of this in one of his mamarim also. The idea being that how do you assess a person? You assess them based on what they praise.
Yeah.
Im hu mishabech ha'masim ha'tovim v'achachamim v'atzadikim. if he emulates those people, Teda ubachanta ki ish tovu, shark tzedek nimsabo, etc. V'mitachin ki yesh biyado avanot nistarim. And even if he has hidden averos, aval me'ove atzedeku, v'lo shoresh bebechira, he has part of the world of bechira, of choice. V'hu me'adas mechabdei Hashem, he's part of the chevra, of the eda that honors God. Kach mitayer Rabbeinu Yona. This is all from Rabbeinu Yona, what the koch haracha is. Right? Kama shekoch zehu ikar gadol b'mohuza adam. We know bechira chavshus is one of the major fundamental differentiates us from the animals. Right? Hashem gave us the ability to choose. That's the only way there can be schar v'onesh, punishment and reward, because we have the ability to choose, and we have to pay attention to the words of Rabbeinu Yona. B'koch haracha tuya bechira sa'adam. Right. The ability to assess and evaluate in that, at the core of that, is our free choice. Ki adam bocher b'mashuhu ma'arich. Usually you choose that which you value. Again, I'll use the image of a woman. To the degree that you date a woman, you are evaluating the woman, and then you select her as your spouse, it's because you're choosing her because you're ma'arich her. Right? So the two are very much interlinked and intertwined. Your ability to be ma'arich is what enables you to be bocher. Mm-hmm. If you can't be ma'arich, you're not going to be able to be bocher because you're bocher based on what? I mean, yeah, you can just randomly choose, but I'm saying the choice should be based on something. So he says, ha'avoda tuya b'miyo b'mashem ma'arich adam b'yoter. Okay, so serving Hashem depends on very much on, or just he's saying here, general service, or general work, right, is what we assess. This world is a world of values. Revolver writes this in different places. Each person can establish their own ladder of values. Ayin Maharal in Parshas Chukas, Parshas Harachim, Shatorah Mishtameshes, Bemilas Erkecha, Bemakum Erech. And Maharal explains that this assessment ability really is very subjective, right? It's a pula subjectivity. Biyoter shal kain erech utamid erkecha ha'erech shalcha, right? Each one of us values different things, right? I mean, think about it in secular terms. Like, we all value Torah, mitzvahs, etc. But then, like, this guy likes piano, this guy likes, you know, everybody has different careers, you know, people have different things that speak to them, right? So therefore, with all this as backdrop, we can understand that denying idol worship, right? We're going to talk about more specifically in a moment, each one. But it is obvious that denying Avodah Zarah is very much part of the of Bechira. And, you know, the very first mitzvah is very much connected to this being able to assess what's valuable, what's not, what's real, what's fake, mm-hmm. what's worth spending time and what's not. Haseder shekavano l'shivat ha-shkulot, and then he goes, now the order that we pick for the seven, because you could have done them in any order, but he's saying Revolba puts them in this order, there's a breaking point. He says that shalosh tsuros l'kolchos ha-racha netina v'schira. Right, there's three pictures of there's the kochos of assessing, giving, and remembering. Those are three powers. Okay, and then there's also then there's four kedushos. Mm-hmm. Right, so there's elevating and sanctifying four things. Right, body, mind, time, and space.
Yeah,
those are kedushos. But then there's also there's three tsuros. There's three forms, Haracha, Nesina, and Yediyah, or Zchira, which is Yediyah Bafala, and then there's four Kedushos. So he's doing three Tzuros and four Kedushos. He's saying, I'm not saying this order is Mukhrecha, so it has to be in this exact order. Of course, you can organize them differently. Ach b'meshach shnot ha'herayon shalada, but throughout the years, we talked how Revolba really conceptualized these ideas over the last 10 years of his life. So during the years that he was pregnant with these ideas, Kshainin Kulo Karam or Vigidim Atzamos, when it began to develop like a skin and bones and it became a form, he's using that image of like a tsura that and fills out, which is really what we're talking about here also. we, the chevra who worked on this, determined that this is the best order to deal with it. First of all, because they seem to interact and intertwine one with the other nicely in this order. And also, even if you're going to work on these, Rav Volba was very into doing things l'maisa, if you're going to try to work on these things, so you're going to see that...
This is the order.
Yeah. That works best, that if you're being kovean avoda ma'asit with the sheva shkuos, that the seven together work as like a picture of the entire thing, this is the best order to do that. Hmm. He says it's proven that this is the order, okay? Best order. Baruhu batorah el kitein mikre. Says in the Torah there's no accidents, there's no coincidences. Kasher matzinu sheva mitzvah shkuos, kenega kol mitzvahs, when we find that there are in fact seven mitzvahs in total, parallel to all the mitzvahs, harei hein bidyuku bedafka sheva. Right? V'lo pachot v'lo yoter. And therefore, there has to be an order to them. Like, it's not a coincidence that there's seven. Again, putting aside the Balaturim that he brought, saying when Chazal talk about it, they say there's seven. Like you asked, seven is not a...
So it's not a number.
You know, the fifth day of the week has a role. Everything has a role, has a piece, has an order. Okay? Now our work is to do them one by one. After we finish that, all Sheva will then reflect upon how... We're going to then understand once we go into each of the seven in depth, we'll then be able to reflect how they become the tzura of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, and what is that, and then who cares? Like, and once we understand what the tzura of all the mitzvahs is, how that affects our avodas Hashem l'maisa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that impact, you know, the way that we're going to work with Hashem? I said last time also, I just said over a quick idea in the Parsha, so even though it's only Tuesday, I'll just say something quickly. So this week's parsha is Parsha's Kitisa, which is the parsha of the Chet Ha'Egel, and it's well known that Parsha's Tetzaveh, last week's parsha, doesn't articulate Moshe Rabbeinu's name explicitly. His name is missing from the book of Tetzaveh, and there are many explanations why. And we know Zayin Adar was last week, and that was Moshe's birthday, and Moshe's Patira, his death, and there's certainly a connection between Moshe and Zayin Adar, and it's not a coincidence that the Shabbos of the parsha that we read that passes the day when he left the world, so he's like symbolically missing from that parsha, like we're missing Moshe. But the Zohar brings, and other Makoros bring, that removing Moshe's name from Tetzaveh is connected to the reality that in this week's parsha, after the Chet Ha'Egel, when Hashem threatens to destroy Klai Yisrael, Moshe's response is Mechinina Misirfuch Asher Katavta. If you're going to do that, and unleash your fury and your wrath against my people, so I'd rather you eradicate my name from the Torah rather than doing that. So we know Baruch Hashem holds back and he doesn't do that, and we're saved, but yet Hashem still removes Moshe's name from Parshas Tetzaveh, the preceding Parsha, even though in theory, you know, it seems like he's being punished, Moshe, and like, why should he be punished? He like put himself out for Klai Yisrael. So Gedaliah Shoren Or Gedal Yahu says the following. He says that because Moshe was willing to make such a great sacrifice and to have his name removed in perpetuity from the Torah, showed that he really didn't care about his own glory, but he was doing it, you know, l'man Klal Yisrael. And that's really the tzura, the image of the ultimate leader, who was able to really put the greater good ahead of his own motivations. And by doing that, he was walking in the way of Hashem. He was very much reflecting the essence of Hashem, which is a Kabbalistic idea that when Hashem created the world, he was mitzamsim himself. Hashem constricts himself to create space for us to partner with him. So Moshe Rabbeinu also was emulating Hashem. He was constricting. He was saying, forget about me. Like, I care about the totality of Klai Yisrael. So Rav Gedaliah says that his removal from the parasha is not a punishment, but rather it's a reward. It's a reflection that he is really one with Hashem. V'ata tetzaveh is a vav hachibur. Ani v'ata. Hashem is saying to Moshe, your actions have made you so close to me. We know he had the greatest prophecy, Aspakari Amira, such clarity and closeness to Hashem, that you don't need a name. A name is a barrier, a name which helps differentiate one from another, like you're separate from I am. You know, we all have our own unique identity, but by having his name removed from the parsha, it was actually not, it's counterintuitive. It was not a punishment, but rather it's a reward for Moshe for being willing to kind of step up and defend Klal Yisrael and say, Mechina Misifrucha. So Hashem says, because you said that, I'm going to take your name out, but not punishing you, Chas v'Shalom, but rather reflecting how close I feel to you, because you demonstrated these levels of leadership. Something just to reflect upon, to think about. All right, Shkoyach Gadol, everybody.
Thank you.
Mezuz Hashem, we will...
Thank you, Zach. Shkoyach. Rabbi, would your kids like these?